We're going to rust out before we wear out. From exercise, if we don't get enough. From overeating, if we don't moderate that. From not enough prayer. Do you believe that? I love the amens. Now, what we talked about Monday was the Great American Diet, how it's causing increased aging, osteoporosis, arthritis, cancer, early death, diabetes, heart disease, and strokes. We talked about yesterday, is obesity a brain disorder? And somebody asked me, well, you never answered it. And my answer is, yes, it's called sin. And it is a brain disorder. And we're inflicted with it. But we can have a cure. It's called Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can overcome your appetite? It took Christ 40 days. And it was the first temptation in the Garden of Eden. Food was essential for Satan to use to every one of us. A problem we've had in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is we've given up meat. Half of us. But those that have given up meat, they've substituted sugar. And what we want to talk about today is, I'm tired. I have so many people tell me that. I've had people tell me, you know, I can't sleep at night. We go over their dietary habits, and it's very clear why they can't sleep at night. And we want to make this clear today, how easy it is for you to improve your fatigue. Now, I'm not going to cure everybody. I again have to tell you, my philosophy of life is, yes, we're all going to die the first death. We're dying right this very instant. We started to die as soon as we were born. We don't have victory over that. We do have victory over the second death. And that we can take hold of and grab as faithful. And if we could see the end from the beginning, how would we have it? We would not have it any other way. Is that hard to accept? Yes. Is that why we should have calluses on our knees? Yes. Here's our quote we want to memorize this week. If you can put this on your heart when you have stresses. Do you have stresses? Nobody has stresses here? 2 Timothy 3:1 says we will have stresses. If you don't have stresses, the devil's already had you for lunch. He seeks who he may devour. Let's read this together. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future. But Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Desire of Ages, page 333. 333. Now I continue my story about my family so you can understand where I'm coming from in my death experience. My great-grandparents, other side, Mary and George Shipley. George was born in Ireland. He was a postman. His whole family, seven brothers, immigrated over here to the United States. He was born in 1860. He met a young maid, Mary Johnson, from Iowa, and they were 17 years apart. At age 30, he married her in 1890. They knew nothing about Seventh-day Adventists, but since they moved, the brothers stayed in the city, and we've lost track of all of them. But he moved out into the country, into Kansas, started a farm, and a call porter came by. They became Seventh-day Adventists. And I can remember my grandfather telling me very clearly that they got one of those newfangled machines from Battle Creek that made peanut butter. And he said it was the bane of my life because we had peanut butter for breakfast and we had peanut butter for lunch and we had peanut butter for supper because we could grow peanuts. He said it was always sticking to the top of my mouth. My grandfather was born in 1901. Roy Elmer Shipley in Independence, Kansas. He then grew up in Wichita and went to our school there. At age 13, he left home, worked, and then went to Union College. From Union College, he went to Loma Linda, where he went to medical school. Here's a picture of him in Evans Hall at the College of Medical Evangelists, Loma Linda, California, and he is dissecting his cadaver. Now, I show you this picture not to gross you out, because every medical student, every dental student, and every paramedical student will go through gross anatomy. And they must do this to learn how we're made. But I show you this picture because this very room is Evans Hall. And 55 years later, in this very room, I did my gross anatomy. And I dissected my cadaver. Again, we now talk about the Kerrs. Great-grandma Kerr is sitting with a baby on her lap. She died at age 100 in 1969. My grandmother was the fifth of the children. Two of them died in Africa. Remember, they were going to stay in Africa till Jesus came. And she decided she was going to go in the medical ministry. So she went to the White Memorial Hospital to take nurses training. From there, she met my grandfather, and they married. My mother was born at the White Memorial Hospital. My father and mother met at the White Memorial Hospital, and I grew up going to the White Memorial Church. And can you guess the next part? I met Judy at the White Memorial Church. When my father-in-law came to be an associate pastor there, there was a no-name other associate pastor by the name of Morris Venden there. And he came, and it was a reunion time because my father knew him very well, and I'll tell that story tomorrow. But I've already inferred it this week. And there was Judy. She was 8. She was framed in this beautiful powder blue hat. And I was 11, and she thought I was too old. The families from then on conspired that we should be together. And it took till I was in cardiology fellowship to actually have the sparks fly and for us to get married. My grandmother died only 2 months after my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother at age 100. My grandmother died of kidney failure in 1969. Now we come to the heart of the matter. This should be on your heart, these quotes. Cast away from all your transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourself a what? A new heart, and then a same old spirit? A new spirit. Wonderful. We want a new spirit. We want a new heart. Do you not? You want that same old stuff? It's dying. And it's got the devil's claws in it. Michael, thank you. Michael's up in the crow's nest and making sure the slides go forward instead of backwards or get hung up. And since it's PowerPoint, you wouldn't think slides would get hung up, but it does. One of the reasons for being tired in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is sugar. Diseases that are caused by sugar include throat infections, sinus infections, yeast infections. Excess sugar utilizes your B vitamins, your C vitamins. This then impairs your immune system. Other diseases that sugar can worsen include asthma, mental illness. You know, I forgot to mention when we talked about how to treat depression, you got to have no sugar in your diet. No sugar. And I found one of our patients that was very depressed. And I said, well, what are you eating? She was living on Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks have the highest percentage of sugar of any cereal that you can eat. I think Captain Crunch comes next. It can worsen nervous disorders. I have patients that say, I'm so nervous. Well, if you're eating a lot of sugar, this is why. And it can cause intractable headaches. I had one of the church members tell me, you know, I have this terrible arthritis. And I've been taking Advil and Tylenol, and it just is so bad. I limp, and I can't take it. Since I stopped using the sugar drinks and stopped using the Tylenol, my pain in my legs went away. I don't have to have a massage at night to get to relax my legs. They're so much better. And I have patients tell me their arthritis will flare up if they have a brownie or a chocolate chip cookie. They know it will. You can try it for yourself. Somebody says, I have. That's great. B vitamins are needed to coat the nerves and keep them healthy. And if you eat sugar, it strips those B vitamins away. Without the B vitamins, the nerves lose their protective coats and become irritable. Heart disease. Sugar increases the lipoprotein levels, which causes atherosclerosis. You all, I hope, got your blood checks for cholesterol yesterday. If you didn't, you still have a chance today. From 12 to 1:30, right behind me, you can get your cholesterol number. You can get your total cholesterol. You can get your bad cholesterol, LDL. You can get your good cholesterol, HDL. And you can get your carrier protein for your triglycerides, VLDL, and your triglyceride level. They'll even will get you a blood sugar if you want. So if you want to get that, please get that for our lecture on cholesterol, which is Friday. So we don't want to accelerate hardening the arteries. We know that diabetes can accelerate hardening the arteries by 10 to 15 years. It affects the salt levels by an osmotic effect that increases your blood pressure. Did you know that? If you're having trouble with your blood pressure, try cutting out your sweets. It imbalances calcium-phosphorus ratios, upsetting the heart muscle and making irregularities of that heart muscle. Diabetes causes increased insulin secretion. We've talked about that all week, and increased insulin causes increased aging. An overworked pancreas becomes inefficient. I had somebody ask me a question whether their pancreas could recover if they're already on insulin. Not likely. Not likely. The pancreas is not like a lizard's tail. There's only one organ that will almost completely regrow, and that is the liver. You can cut out or damage your liver almost to the end. You can have just a small portion of the liver left, and it will completely regenerate. But that's the only organ that will do that. Everything else will not. You know, when you cut your arm off, it doesn't grow back. Neither does your pancreas. Nearsightedness. It correlates with a diet high in refined carbohydrates. You know, refined carbohydrates are made into sugars by your body. So, I'm not eating sweets. I'm just eating white bread, white rice, lots of potatoes out of the box, those kind of things. Refined carbohydrates, all the fiber is removed. Now, dental health. This is very interesting. 50% of Americans have no teeth by the age they're 50. Did you know that? 50% of Americans have no teeth by age 50. Sugar coats the teeth and slows or stops circulation in the tooth. As circulation is hindered, the normal streptococcus bacteria of the mouth causes them to decay. And we see a lot of that here in the mountains. The local folks, they basically don't have teeth by 35. And they'll be lucky if they're not losing a few that are cavitated so severely when they're married at 18 and 19. Excess weight. Empty sugar calories add up to excess baggage around our middle. And the average teenager today eats 50% of their calories through empty calories. Meaning no fiber, no nutrients, just useless to your body. Behavior. Between food additives and sugar, Americans are experiencing personality changes and mood swings. I'm on the mental health trend board for two counties, Henderson County and Transylvania County, and it's very difficult to see every year, as the budget goes down to taking care of mental health, that the disease goes up. The penetration, the more people are needing it. And it's because of our lifestyle. We're finding a penetration of 10 to 15% in our counties. 10 to 15% of the people need mental health treatment. That's scary. And it's only going to go up. It's only going to go up. Criminal behavior has been altered by eliminating sugar or other offenders out of people's diets. Watch how you or your child behave 1 hour after a high sugar load. That's your test. If you don't think it's affecting you at all. We can certainly see it in our children as they bounce off the wall. And I know they say that sugar has nothing to do with hyperactivity as far as the medical literature is concerned. But you and I know better. Can't tell you where those people were that made that study, but I don't think they ever actually looked at people live, those doctors. They work in an ivory tower to do research. It certainly, in some of the children, may not have been all sugar. It may have been some of the additives, like red food coloring, things like that. But we all know that sugar contributes to hyperactivity in adults, so why wouldn't it do it in the children? Every American consumes their weight in sugar each year. I said, no way, that can't be possible. I don't consume my weight in sugar each year. Yes, you do. Start counting it up. If you put sugar on your cereal, you put sugar in your coffee, you have a donut, you've almost got half your weight there. That's about 33 to 40 teaspoons a day. And then you'll have a Snickers or some snack in the middle of the day because of hypoglycemia. And it gets worse as it goes on. That's over 100 feet of sugar cane a day. You wouldn't eat even a foot of sugar cane on your own, would you? I've tried, but it's hard going. That's about 60 calories a day or 2 pounds a week extra. The only benefit sugar can offer is a quick energy pickup. Now here's a graph. It shows the appetite line, and at 8 o'clock, if you have orange juice, coffee, and a donut, the spike is going to go straight up. And then it's going to drop out, and you're going to get hypoglycemic. And then, by noon, you're in trouble. You've already eaten something and broken your fast. And you've gotten your stomach to work while it's still trying to digest the last stuff you put in there. And the stomach stays tired all the time. And you wonder why you're tired all the time. Because the stomach never gets to rest. It affects the rest of your body. We read yesterday how it affects the brain. And it does. It does. A sour stomach makes a sour disposition. But if you had a high protein or a nice protein, fat, fiber mix for breakfast, then you would not have this surge straight up and straight back down like a bouncing ball. We call that in medicine the Somogyi effect, where the sugar goes up and then it drops out and you have no sugar and you get diaphoretic and feel like you're going to faint because you're getting a major hypoglycemic reaction. It's named after a doctor in Japan that described it, Somogyi. Children are a very lucrative market. They may get up to $5 a week in allowance. And advertising and business has taken advantage of this. Can add up to $5 to $6 billion a year in advertising in selling sugar products. We're bombarded with it all the time. Commercials for French fries, shakes, sweetened cereals, and sugary drinks. The misconception that they're trying to portray to you is you can't get by without a nutritious breakfast in the morning that's not high in sugar. Who was it that invented breakfast cereal? It was Kellogg. He came up with grape nuts. Yes, Post took it home and marketed it, but it came right out of the sanitarium kitchen in Battle Creek. Who made the first granola? Kellogg. Who made the first cornflake? It was Kellogg. And yes, there was lots of copies. And so his brother, when he branched off to make his own cereal, because now there was many, many cereal companies right there in Battle Creek because it was so popular, it was cheap, it was something they could do. His brother had to show that this was the original, so he signed it with his own name, Kellogg. And what was the usual breakfast back then? The usual breakfast was a cup of coffee, a piece of white bread covered with lard. So Kellogg was trying to change a pattern, and now we've added sugar to it, and nobody can get by without a sugar cereal or a sugar fix in the morning. One of the classic studies in 1964 was how many white cells could be affected. Your attack cells that look for bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells. You know that you have viruses, bacteria, and cancer cells are exposed to you every single day and every single moment. It's not by the grace of God that we don't overcome with infection or die of cancer right now. Did you know that? The white cells, your attack cells, your immune system, is crucial to keeping you alive and sitting here. We found with the higher doses of sugar, as simple as 18 tablespoons, which is some 2-liter Pepsis, it dropped your percent of immune system seeing the bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells by 85 to 92%. It blinded them. I equate that to like the AWACS airplane that we use in the military to block all radar of the enemy. The sugar does that to our white cells. And an illustration is the white cells can usually sense, and they have radar, can sense when there's a bacteria, virus, or cancer cell. And they can crawl out of the lining to the blood vessel and out there to tag it or kill it. If they're sugar, they're blinded. They don't see that. If there's a high sugar load in your bloodstream, they will just float right on by unless they actually run into it. Then they'll grab it. But you know, these white cells are so tenacious that we've seen them be able to, with a low sugar load in your bloodstream, we've seen them be able to go 600, backwards and out where the blood is going 600 miles an hour past it. It'll go backwards to try to find these bacteria, viruses, and cancers. But not when there's sugar there. It blinds it. Can't see it. Sugar is the number one food additive. Sugar raises insulin levels, inhibiting the release of growth hormones. Whoa! Your growth hormones are important for you. You need them to repair at night. They go up at night, as does your melatonin, and then they go down in the day, and then your serotonin goes up, so you can be happy. That's your happy chemical. We talked about foods that stimulate those yesterday. When your growth hormone is suppressed, then your immune system is suppressed. You can see why high sugar consumption can cause or promote cancer. Back in 1950, the chance of dying of cancer was 1 in 40. Today, it's 1 in 3. 1 in 3. Why has that changed? Because we've added so much sugar to our diet. It's one of the reasons. We've got environmental things, too. So what's my recommendation for you if you have hypoglycemia? How could you get over that sugar craving? I'm going to suggest that you get 200 micrograms of chromium. Chromium picolate. Picolate helps the absorption of chromium every time you eat. And I'll guarantee you, I've tried this on hundreds of patients, if you will faithfully take this, your sugar craving, your chocolate craving will disappear. Your sugar craving and your chocolate craving will disappear. Your hypoglycemic reactions will disappear. And for those of you that are diabetic, I can probably knock off, if you're a bad diabetic and your sugars run high, I can probably knock off about 60 points off the top of your sugar by adding chromium. You have a chromium deficiency. Chromium inhibits the synthesis of new fat from carbohydrates, thus freeing the mitochondria, which are your energy packet manufacturing sites, to burn already stored fat. This mineral is also essential for glucose tolerance and proper insulin function, as I've just mentioned. I think most people in the United States have a trace chromium deficiency. It is in short supply in the average American diet because of all the sugar and refined foods. Chromium aids in hunger control at the level of the hypothalamus in the brain. Now, we looked at the hypothalamus yesterday. We'll see it again today on a slide. Try this with each of your meals. Now, if you don't want to try the chromium, I want 2 extra servings of whole grains because it's high in chromium, and I want some extra brewer's yeast, which is high in chromium. Now, you've got to drink for these to get over the sugar. I need you to drink. You can go back one. 64 ounces of water a day, at least. I need that. It's essential. Now, I have patients that tell me, why could I kill for chocolate? Well, I'll give you a little hint on the chocolate. There's nothing else that is the same appeal as chocolate to a chocolate addict. And it appears that there are 3 fats in chocolate that are the same as marijuana. Honest, there are. This was reported in Nature. There are natural cannabinoids found in chocolate, which also contain 2 other psychoactive ingredients, including caffeine and phenethylamine, which is a mild amphetamine. Our bodies produce one of these fats itself, which attaches itself to the cannabinoid receptor. Did you know you had a marijuana receptor in your brain? You do. Why did God put that there? You have a nicotine receptor too. You have a morphine receptor. These appear to be relaxation hormones such as melatonin and endorphin. These hormones increase dramatically when we stimulate the production of alpha and theta frequencies in our brains, which is easily achieved through prayer. So what are we doing when we're eating chocolate? We're stimulating brain the same way you would if you were on your knees praying. So what has Satan done? He's given you a substitute for prayer. Oh boy. Thus, those who are already receiving pleasure from prayer will find that their habitual prayer will substitute quite nicely for their chocolate craving. So you can change one positive for a negative in your lifestyle. Will you do that for me? All right, exercise. Now I've talked about it. I've talked about chocolate. I've talked about hypoglycemia and eating in between meals, which we're going to talk about some more. How about exercise? Is competitive sports good for exercise? You got to get your exercise. Well, I'm not reading from Mrs. White here. I'm reading from the Journal of Clinical Laboratory and Immunology, 1989, volume 30, page 169 and 173. Stress of any kind may impair the immune system. Intense, vigorous, competitive exercise depresses both cell-mediated and antibody-mediated immunity. This type of immune suppression is also seen with exercising to exhaustion or overtraining. Do I need to read that again? Competitive exercise screws up your immune system. Then what are we doing in our colleges and academies? It's in the medical science. It's proven. Well, you say, well, then I shouldn't exercise at all because it's dangerous. Pleasurable exercise, this is from Biofeedback and Self-Regulation, 1990, volume 15, page 229 to 242. Pleasurable exercise provides not only enjoyment and relaxation, but also beneficial strength to the immune system. Pleasurable exercise does that, but competitive exercise drops your immune system out. Among the students, this is from First Selected Messages, 136. Among the students, the spirit of fun and frolic was indulged. They became so interested in playing games that the Lord was crowded out of their minds. Now, she says that you can play with a ball, and inner city kids should be able to play games. But she says, not the competitive ones. Very clear, because we now know physiologically what it does to us. She was just not saying, well, you can't do that because I don't want you to have any fun. But you know, that's a lot of what got her over to Australia. Because the General Conference says, I can't take this nagging lady on my hands. Did she know better? Did she know something we didn't know back then? Here's the medical science to show us. I show you this picture for a gentleman that's got some tattoos. Bible talks about not tattooing. Here's a gentleman that he was actually allergic to the red dye they used. And they actually had to surgically go in and remove this on this bird. He also had some earrings. And believe it or not, there are many people that are allergic to metal. Unless it's gold, if it's copper or mercury filling, which some of them are if they come from third world countries, they can be very toxic to you and you can get a very bad rash. Why would you want to put those things on you? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Why would Satan want to decorate the outside of you? Because then he can keep you from decorating the inside of you, which is what God wants. Now, I show this picture just for education. This is a patient that Dr. Postinger and I had, and they left their contact lenses in too long. This caused a neovascularization to grow across their eyes, actual blood vessels grow across their cornea, so they couldn't see. So if you're wearing contact lenses, follow the instructions. Music in your health. Ooh, I talked about competition. Now I'm going to do it again. I'm going to talk about music. You can go to any Seventh-day Adventist church in any town and find a variety of music. And we say, oh, that's very personal. It doesn't really matter as long as you're praising God. It doesn't matter what kind of music it is. Well, it does make a difference to your body. Let's look at physiologically what it does. Music enters your brain through the emotional region, the temporal lobes and limbic system. Dissonance, syncopated, 2-4, not 3-1, repetition, driving rhythms bypass the frontal lobe. That's our judgment center. That's our character. It escapes our reason and our judgment center. This bypasses and influences the will, the moral worth, and reasoning power. Like television, music can produce a hypnotic effect. Now, do I need to tell you what television can do? I'm a TV-holic, and I'm hopefully always recovering. I like to always relax in front of TV, and it's not good for you. TV produces hypnotic effect. It reduces interest in reading and learning, weakens the brain power, encourages poor lifestyle habits, encourages obesity, Why? Because you got those commercials. Increasing daydreaming weakens creativity, may reduce our powers of discrimination, trains in non-reaction, influences viewers to regard violence lightly, makes children more irritable, and I can tell you that with mine. They can be even watching Sabbath videos. If they watch too much of it, they don't mind. They're hypnotized. Increases aggressiveness, accelerates sexual activity, it's addictive, it reduces time available for productive achievement, steals time from family interactions, and adversely affects spiritual pursuits. So does music. Just say the same thing, the same thing. The 2-4 accent patterns go against our heartbeat and other rhythms of the body. It actually has been shown in some studies to stimulate heart arrhythmias, which then can promote sudden death. It causes a nervous tension or a high by releasing adrenaline, as in our fright or flight mechanism, which you should have intact. It increases the heartbeat and is addictive because of that. The hippocampus, which we talked about, is responsible for alertness, memory, and learning. This music's rhythm causes abnormal branching and sprouting of nerve cells when looked under the microscope, and disruption of messenger RNA. It's a memory storage chemical. Certain music helps synchronize natural biorhythms, like classical music, like high liturgical church music, thus enhancing body function, while other music disrupts it. Now, this isn't from Mrs. White. This is from the medical literature. Here is our hippocampus, responsible for alertness, memory, and learning center. Our thalamus is right underneath it, and that's responsible for our pleasure center. And they're connected. The bass guitar and drums cause an imbalance of sex and adrenaline hormones. It decreases the blood sugar in the brain, causing moral inhibition, just like alcohol. Should I read that one again? It decreases the blood sugar in the brain, causing moral inhibition, like alcohol. That's rock music we're talking about. Christian rock music, it doesn't matter. Rap music, it doesn't matter. It also depletes intercellular calcium, stopping the normal function of all cells in the body. Disharmonies can cause permanent learning difficulties. That was done at Mayo Clinic, that study. Disharmonies can damage the temporal lobes and cause atrophy of the frontal lobes. Classical music has been shown in studies to help college students learn spatial geometry much better. Now I have to read you about Aristotle. Aristotle lived 4 BC. And in translation, this is what he said about music. He was no dummy. Music directly represents the passions or states of the soul: gentleness, anger, courage, temperance, and their opposites and their qualities. Hence, when one listens to music that imitates a certain passion, he becomes imbibed with the same passion. And if over a long time he habitually listens to the kind of music that rouses degraded or vulgar passions, his whole character will be shaped in a vulgar and degraded manner. In short, if one listens to the wrong kind of music, he will become the wrong kind of person. But conversely, if he listens to the right kind of music, he will tend to become the right kind of person. Aristotle unwittingly referred to the frontal lobe that we now know is the seat of our character. How did he know that? Early writings. Talks about Satan. Ellen White was shown Satan. I was shown Satan as he was a happy, exalted angel, as in this picture. I was shown him as he is now. He still bears a kingly form. His features are still noble, for he is an angel fallen. But the expression of his countenance is full of anxiety, care, unhappiness, malice, hate, mischief, deceit, and every evil. That brow, which once was so noble, I noticed particularly. His forehead commenced from his eyes to recede. I saw that he had so long bent himself to evil that every good quality was abased and every evil trait was developed. His eyes were cunning, sly, and showed great penetration. His frame was large, but the flesh hung loosely about it. his hands and face. They also were very loosely fleshed. As I beheld him, his chin was resting upon his left hand. He appeared to be in deep thought. A smile was upon his countenance, which made me tremble. It was so full of evil and satanic slyness. This smile is the one he wears just before he makes sure of his victim. As he fastens the victim into his snare, this smile grows horrible. Lucifer no longer has a frontal lobe. He no longer has judgment. So what is he trying to portray to you? The same characteristics. There was a Zimbabwe pastor who came to visit the United States. And he was listening to the Christian radio station, which had Christian rock. And he said, "That same beat I used to play to call up the evil spirits in the music I heard on that Christian station." When several African pastors heard a Christian rock tape sent from the U.S., in disgust they asked, "What are you doing allowing your church people in America to call up evil spirits with this music?" My four-year-old nephew was listening to Kowski, and accidentally the music got changed to a rock station. He says, "Quick, Mommy, turn that off. It makes me feel ugly." And what are we doing with this music? We're enticing our children in our churches with it. We want them to stay in church, so we will have this music because we want to be like them and we want them to stay in church. Is it more important to hypnotize them in church than following what we know is right? Lucifer was son of the morning. He thought himself very beautiful. So what is he trying to do to you? Make you think the outside of you is very beautiful and make it a idol to you so that you're not looking on the inside. So man in this culture puts on all manner of gold on the outside. Satan uses that as the sun, the bright gold that he artificially makes it the false god that you will have. Where in the tabernacle in the wilderness was the gold? Was it on the outside? It was on the inside. Where does God want your gold? On the inside. Does this not make sense? So we're back to tired. Music can make you tired. Not having God in your life can make you tired. Eating too much sugar can make you tired. Not drinking enough water can make you tired. But did you know that 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated? 37% of Americans' thirst mechanism is so weak that it's often mistaken for hunger. I had one of our friends tell me this morning, "You know, I hate water. Don't like water, didn't want to take it. But you know, I started drinking it. And I didn't. Now that I'm drinking it, I can't do without it. I'm so thirsty." Their thirst mechanism had been turned off. Now they're drinking water and feeling great. My daughter this week, because of what I've been talking about all week, went and drank some water when she said she was tired and she got a lot of energy. I guarantee you, if you will drink enough water, that's very important for me because I have an ileostomy and everything comes out of their liquid. And it's important for me to get enough water. And when I don't, I can tell. And I'm going to probably have to have twice as much water as you have to stay hydrated. But when I am hydrated and I get enough water, which is going to be close to 100 ounces for me a day, I can find that I have as much energy as if I had a caffeinated drink, and I won't have the low afterwards. It'll give me that pickup. So can you promise me you'll drink your water? Even mild dehydration will slow your metabolism at least 3%. I have patients that tell me I want to lose weight, but they won't drink their water. Well, they've slowed their metabolism down. They're going to gain weight if they eat the same amount of calories. Drink water. It'll speed up your metabolism. Lack of water is the number one trigger for daytime fatigue. You tired in the middle of the day? You eating too much sweets? Cut out the sweets. Drink more water. 8 to 10 glasses of day can cause or can ease back pain by 80%. 8 to 10 glasses a day. A mere 2% drop in body water can cause fuzzy short-term memory, trouble with basic math, difficulty focusing on the computer or reading. I think maybe this was the problem during the presidential campaign. That's why we had fuzzy math. There's not enough water. 5 glasses a day decreases colon cancer by 45%. breast cancer by 79% and bladder cancer by 50%. Your body is 60% water. You need at least 64 ounces to lose weight a day. A day, that's half a gallon, 64 ounces. Ideally, you can calculate it if you're heavy or lighter, how much you should really have. And it's 1 ounce of water for every kilogram that you weigh. And a kilogram, you calculate as whatever your weight is in pounds divided by 2.2. That's a kilogram. So whatever that number is, your weight in pounds divided by 2.2 is how many ounces of water you should be drinking a day. So you're going to be, if you're 100 pounds, going to be drinking less than somebody that's 300 pounds. Very cold and hot beverages stop your digestion. Counsels on Diet and Food, page 420. Again, how did she know this? I'm being rhetoric, using rhetoric here to ask you that. How did she know that? And tomorrow I'm going to answer that question. How did she know that? All right, page 420. Many make a mistake in drinking cold water with their meals. Taken with meals, water diminishes the flow of the salivary glands. And the colder the water, the greater the injury to the stomach. Stomach is injured. Ice water, ice lemonade, drunk with meals, will arrest digestion until the system has imparted sufficient warmth to the stomach to enable it to take up its work again. Hot drinks are debilitating. And besides, those who indulge in their use become slaves to the habit. When I was showing horses back in the 60s, I found that my trainers would always drink hot coffee first thing in the morning and through the day. And I couldn't figure out why they would do it when it was 350 degrees in the shade. I asked them that, and they said it actually cools them off in the stomach, but I see why here. Food should not be washed down. No drink is needed with meals. How'd you know that? I'll explain that in a minute, why that's the case, physiologically. Eat slowly. Allow the saliva to mingle with food. The more liquid there is taken into the stomach with the meals, the more difficult it is for the food to digest, for the liquid must first be absorbed. But if anything is needed to quench thirst, pure water, drunk sometime before and after the meal, not with the meal, is all that nature requires. Water is the best liquid possible to cleanse the tissues. Oh, but we just had medical science just recently come out with an article saying that it didn't matter what kind of liquid you had. It could be soda, it could be milk, it could be anything, as long as you had the water. They didn't look at the Adventist Health Study that came out last month that says that's not the case. Let's first look at the stomach. The stomach has two muscle rings, one at the top, one at the bottom. This muscle ring at the bottom is called the pylorus, and it will prevent anything from leaving the stomach until it's fully digested with acid. But if you put a lot of water in there, what's the stomach going to do? It only knows when something is liquefied enough. It doesn't know if it's completely digested. It doesn't have a little probe in there and say, digested, it can go on into the alkaline small bowel. So when you drink water with your meals, it liquefies your stomach. And the stomach thinks, aha, it's digested. So where does it go? Out through the pylorus. And it gets into the small intestine. And is it digested yet? No. So it takes longer to do that. Now, those of you that are trying to lose weight, you can empty your stomach 3 to 4 times before your brain says, I'm full, if you're drinking with your meals. If you didn't drink with your meals, that food would stay in your stomach and be full. It takes 20 minutes for your brain to know that it's full. So eat it slowly, wait for your 20 minutes. If you can wait for your 20 minutes without drinking liquid, you won't have probably 3 to 4 times the amount of calories that you would have shoveled in there, and it would have digested a lot easier. Here is someone swallowing some liquid, and you can see it coming down the esophagus into the stomach. And this is important because when you drink liquid, it should be just liquid in your stomach. When you eat food, it should be just food. Now, patients tell me, well, I can't do it. Everything sticks. What I would suggest while you're getting your body used to that is to use some cantaloupe or some watermelon to help you get it down. And once you are over that, you can do without it. And you will find that you will rest better at night if you don't drink with your meals. Another clue. Here is a hiatal hernia. That is where stomach tissue is above the small, diaphragm of your stomach, of your bellows, breathing bellows. And there's actually a little ulcer there. And we know that acid, when it can get up into the esophagus, past that ring, can cause burning and irritation. And we see a lot of people with Barrett's esophagus, which is precancer, because they've had so much burning in there and heartburn. And if I can try to encourage my patients to drink more water and not eat in between meals, they would be much better. If they would be careful what they ate, it would also make a big difference. The higher fiber they eat, the better they would be. And they would have less hiatal hernia symptoms. But the ones that complain the most don't follow these instructions. Here is an ulcer with lots of pits from aspirin. And many doctors will tell you to have a baby aspirin every day. Now, if you're prescribed this because you've had a heart attack or a stroke, you need to stay on it. But if you're not on it, the best bet for thinning your blood is 6 ounces of purple grape juice a day. Now, I had somebody ask me in one of the questions, well, should I use red wine? Because that's what my doctor told me to do. Did you know that purple grape juice is superior to red wine for thinning the blood? Red wine does have the antioxidant effect of thinning blood because it still has some of the same chemicals. But where the chemical is right under the skin of the grape. So you want to stay healthy without a heart attack and stroke. In other words, keeping your platelets, which make your scabs from being sticky, I would recommend 6 ounces of grape juice a day, not an aspirin, unless your doctor told you to do that. Now, I want you to not get me in trouble here. Here is an ulcer in the stomach that has been perforated. And we see this probably once a month at the hospital, that somebody gets an ulcer that perforates. Most of the time, that's from having an ulcer for a long time and ignoring it. But it also can be from a bacteria that you can get from houseflies called Helicobacter pylori. And once that sets up housekeeping in your stomach, you can't get rid of the ulcer unless you give antibiotics. Here in this particular picture, there's an x-ray which shows air under the diaphragm, the breathing bellows on the right. This is what I look like after I perforated my bowel. I had air under my diaphragm, and it didn't feel good, let me tell you. I told Judy at the time, if I have to have this much pain, I'd rather be dead. Here is a bleeding ulcer, usually an ugly mess when you go down with a scope to look at it. And it's oftentimes hard to find where the bleeding site is, if it's in the stomach or in the duodenum. Here is a stomach with food in it. And as time goes by, you should see the mass of food get smaller and smaller as the body slowly digests it. If you put a lot of water in there, it will liquefy it and shoot it out quicker. And that will be harder on your body to digest because it didn't get the effect of the acid. You may have swallowed, you may not have even gotten any saliva in there to help it digest. And then your small bowel is responsible for trying so hard to digest this stuff. And we wonder why we have constipation. The Adventist Health Study, April 25, released this year, 2002. This was an update. Showed healthy men that drank 5 or more glasses of water a day had 54% decreased fatal heart attacks, and women had 41% decreased fatal heart attacks compared with those who drank 2 glasses of water or less a day. Drinking a high volume of plain water works to thin the blood, thus lowering the risk of blood clots. Fruit juice, milk, and soda did not do the same. It did not give the same protection. All right, so does that answer your question? That water will not give you the same protection to thin your blood. That liquid. Here's a clot in the pulmonary tree. This caused sudden death in this patient. We call it a pulmonary emboli. We see this quite a bit too. Tomorrow we're talking about soy and estrogen, so those that ask those questions, you want to be here tomorrow. We find that estrogen increases the chance of clotting. And I have personally had some very sad experiences between internal medicine at Loma Linda and cardiology fellowship at Loma Linda. I was the emergency room director at the hospital nearest Disneyland in Anaheim, California. And that summer, there were 2 people that came in and didn't make it down Main Street because they decided they wouldn't take their blood thinner because they were on vacation, and they died from a massive pulmonary emboli. Probably looked at something like this. I have to tell you, if you're on Coumadin, you need to be on it. I don't have a better substitute for it. We're dying right now, and it is rat poison. Yes, Coumadin is rat poison. and it keeps your blood thin. If you have a metal valve, if you had irregularity, atrial fibrillation, keep you from having a stroke. Half the nursing homes are filled with people who have had strokes from clots. By giving you Coumadin, you will not have those clots, or at least decrease your chance markedly to less than 0.5% a year chance of having a stroke. So if you're on Coumadin, I don't have any natural substitutes. You must take it if you want to still be smiling. If you want to wait for the Lord to come, then you quit taking it. Not all fats are bad. We've talked so far about omega-3. So if I can tell you so far what we want you to do, I want you to have more water at the right times, not with your meals. I want you to get omega-3. I want everybody on omega-3. I had somebody tell me, well, every time I eat flaxseed oil, I get bloated and I have a stomach ache. Well, either the flaxseed is rancid, which it possibly could be, even in the capsules, or you're allergic to it, and so you need to try something like barrage oil or evening primrose oil, because it's good in omega-3. Dr. Budwig, 7-time nominee for the Nobel Prize, said all degenerative diseases can be traced to a faulty fat metabolism. Sin? We're all faulty. Low-fat diets rob your body of essential fatty acids, resulting in reduced performance of the brain, the eyes, and the heart. Essential fatty acids serve as building blocks of nerve cells and cell membranes. Omega-6 is most prevalent in the United States. It's 6-to-1. And it is a very bad building block. It is like cardboard. So if you're going to build a 3-story building and put the foundation made of cardboard, what's going to happen to the plumbing and electricity in that building? It ain't going to work very well. And if you have omega-3, it is solid. It's like concrete. And the way I've had it explained to me by the biophysiologists are if you have omega-6 in your building blocks of your cells, it's like a hurricane hitting a trailer park. Not much protection. But if you have omega-3 in your building blocks, it's like a hurricane hitting a concrete bunker. The hurricane's going to move, not the concrete bunker. So you need omega-3. It needs to be probably a 1-to-1, 2-to-1 ratio in your body. And I can tell you, almost all of us don't have that ratio. I took my omega-3 this morning. Without friendly fats, dangerous saturated fats will replace essential fatty acids in your cell's coat. This can cause reduced membrane fluidity and efficiency. This then is the start of premature aging and disease development. This is where it starts, folks. Low essential fatty acid levels impair your concentration. We're talking about being tired here today. Watch this. Concentration, memory, it can cause dementia in some people. There are probably 50 different reasons for Alzheimer's. This is only one of them. Learning abilities. It can decrease your cardiovascular health. It can elevate your LDL, your triglycerides, and your hypertension. I had several of you come to me yesterday and said, you know, my triglycerides are high. I said, what'd you have for breakfast? Orange juice? Is there any fiber in that? What happens? How many oranges are in a glass of orange juice? 6. Would you eat 6 oranges at one sitting? No. So no wonder the sugar is high in your bloodstream. Being fatty sugar, triglycerides. Need to check your triglycerides fasting. It can having low omega-3 levels in your body can impair visual function, mental health, and insulin resistance will be worsened. It can lower your blood pressure if you add these to your diet. It can lower dangerous triglycerides. It can raise your good HDL, the happy HDL that carries the bad cholesterol away from your arteries. It can increase your artery flexibility. As we get older, we get stiffer. Not only our joints, but our arteries. And that can make your blood pressure go up as well. It decreases the chances of a heart attack and stroke by 40 to 80%, depending on which study you look at. Last month, they had a study of women eating 3 servings of fish a week. This is high in omega-3. Guess what? They had an 81% decrease in heart attack and stroke. I don't know where the 1% came from, but it was 81% study. Omega-3 is essential for us. We're dying on this earth. We want to do everything we can natural to help you out. I'm trying to help you out. Adding essential fatty acids to your diet, this can trigger the anti-inflammatory response, which may reduce the following arthritis, heart attacks, cancer, cardiac arrhythmias, psoriasis. Now, psoriasis, let me stop there a minute. We now think that psoriasis is a food allergy. So if you can go through an elimination diet and find out what food you're most offensive from, you might be able to get control of your psoriasis. Number one food allergy in the United States is secondhand smoke. Did you know that? Number one cause of asthma in children is secondhand smoke. After that, it's milk, cow's milk. Number two, it's chocolate. And it's not the chocolate. It's the impurities in the chocolate. Did you know the United States allows 5 to 10% impurities in all chocolate imported in this country? What are those impurities? Rat hair, tarantula legs, whatever. That's what you're allergic to. It can decrease cell dysfunction by increasing your essential fatty acids. It can cause it can improve diabetes. I found my Crohn's disease is markedly improved from a New England Journal of Medicine article that said omega-3 supplementation can put you into remission. And I've been in remission since I've been on omega-3. Same for any autoimmune disorder. If it's thyroid or lupus or whatever it is, ankylosing spondylitis, you want to be on omega-3. It can improve some patients with Alzheimer's. It can improve the risk or decrease the chance of strokes and peripheral neuropathy. Peripheral neuropathy usually is damaging and permanent, but you can get some of the improvement back in that. That's pain in the lower extremities from the nerves being damaged, usually from diabetes. Who may have this imbalance? If you have any of these symptoms, you may need to add omega-3 supplementation to your diet. If you have an endocrine imbalance, if you have an immune dysfunction, if you have Alzheimer's disease, if you have cardiovascular disease, if you have an environmental illness. You know, we have sick buildings. We have sick environment. We have bad water. We have bad air. We can't help that. We're in this world. We do the best we can with it. Omega-3 may help. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, may help that. It's not going to cure it, but it may make it better. Cognitive impairment, Parkinsonism, glaucoma, gastrointestinal diseases, anxiety, and believe it or not, autism. Again, autism, we have found, is a fat metabolism problem. May be triggered secondary to vaccines, and it may not. Who else could be benefited by having essential fatty acids in the diet? Those with lupus, postmenopausal syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple sclerosis, those with eating disorders, depression, epilepsy, traumatic brain injury. One more thing for I keep adding this to depression. I need those of you that are depressed to have 15 minutes to an hour a day of sun on the back of your legs. Now you think I've just lost it there, haven't you? Been standing up here in this light too long. The back of your legs will stimulate your pineal gland in your brain. Now, I don't want you to get skin cancer, so you got to watch that. I don't want sunscreen on the back of your legs. So 15 minutes, work up to an hour, your depression will be markedly improved because you'll improve the brain function and the brain chemistry by adding sunlight to the back of your legs. Back of your legs, not your torso, not your face. The back of your legs. It stimulates your pineal gland. So those that have had traumatic brain syndrome and injuries have been improved with adding omega-3. Now, where are you going to get omega-3 if you're not going to get it in the oil form, which goes rancid very quickly? You're going to get it in sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, flax seeds. And people ask me, well, how much flax seed should I use? If you're going to grind it up, and that's the way I recommend it, fresh, don't leave it around after it's ground because it'll go bad, is 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed a day is the equivalent of what is recommended by the dietitians for getting your omega-3. Poppy seeds and pumpkin seeds are also good sources of omega-3. Unroasted, if you roast them, it ruins the fat in there. Unroasted walnuts, we've done an Adventist health study on walnuts, finding that they markedly diminished heart attacks and strokes in Adventists that had walnuts versus protein, meat, animal protein meat. When they had nuts in this place, they did better. Almonds, pecans, Brazil nuts, cashews, pecans, macadamias, and filberts all are good for a monosaturated omega-3. Most people get up to 46% of their daily calories after 5 p.m., moderation in all things is what I say. For those that binge, Here's what I'm going to recommend. We're going to go through just a couple things here, and then we'll answer some questions. Eat in the same place for each meal if you're having trouble binging and overeating. These are just some things that you can do, as well as your prayer time, to overcome this. Don't talk while you eat, because you'll forget how much you ate. Don't eat in front of the TV. Don't eat while reading, listening to the radio, while on the phone, or while writing letters. I want you to concentrate on eating if this is an important time for you. Concentrate on your food. Eat only when you are hungry and only at mealtimes. No in between. I want 5 hours for that stomach to recover. So you can be rested and you won't be so tired. Yes, your stomach will say it's hungry. And guess what that message is? Only has one message, and that's hungry. It is tired. And what I told you yesterday is, when you go to bed at night and you said, I'm starved, that's somebody said they have a husband that gets up 10 times at night to eat, because that's the only way he can get his stomach to quiet down so he can go back to sleep. He's got to retrain that stomach, and it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of self-will to do that. You need to not eat at night. And if you have a hunger feeling at night, what you're going to do is not eat. And when you get up first thing in the morning, if you were hungry first thing in the morning, you were hungry last night. But I'll bet you 99.9% of the time when you get up in the morning, you will not be hungry, because the symptoms that you had the night before of hunger were actually being tired. You were tired. You weren't hungry. Eat slowly and take smaller bites and concentrate on enjoying your food. Don't drink with your meals, because it washes it down. You can get more calories in by drinking with your meals. Eat a good breakfast. Start the day out. We'll have our biggest meal at lunch, which will be usually things out of the garden. We're having asparagus and lots of salads and things like that we can grow in the garden right now. You want to have your biggest meal early in the day. And then you want to have your light stuff, your fruit, not with your vegetables. Your fruit one night and your vegetables another night. You don't want to mix them, because what happens is fruit ferments. And if you eat fruit and vegetables together on this vegan diet, if you're eating all kinds of American-type diet, this isn't going to make one bit of difference whether you throw some more junk in there. Fruit and vegetables together, it's not going to make a difference. You're not going to notice a difference. But if you're fine-tuning your body so that you can understand it and it can talk to you, when you get to where the diet is so pure, you don't want to put your fresh fruits and vegetables together, because the vegetables will be digested first. Fruit does not need to be digested. It will just sit there. And when it sits there, what does it do? It's sugar. It ferments. And you will then get fermented process in your brain. And you will have a cloudy memory. That's after you have changed your diet radically. If you go and have a McDonald's diet and have fruit and vegetables together, your body's so confused, it's not going to know that you're putting those two together. So, eat a good breakfast. Read those labels. Shun anything you can't pronounce. Yeah, I know, everybody laughs at that. I can't pronounce half the stuff on some of those labels. Don't shop when you're hungry. Always eat before you go. And stick to your shopping list. Only buy those things that are on the shopping list. Because if you go looking for the cookies and the candy at night, it won't be in the cupboard. And you'll start making a habit and a pattern of it. Don't buy empty calorie foods, chips, crackers, sweets, snacks. Don't have them around the house. Never eat standing up, because you'll get more in you. Have a healthy meal before you go to a party. Or you're gonna know they're going to have something at work. Make sure that you're satisfied before that happens. Put notes on the refrigerator, on the mirrors, like, those who indulge bulge, or taste becomes waste. Try to remind yourself that you don't want to eat those extra calories. Eliminate food cues, such as commercials, such as times when you eat. You know that when Oprah comes on, you're going to sit down and have a box of chocolate chip cookies. You're not going to have those clues there. When you start dinner, it's time for you to start munching, and you'll continue to eat for the next 4 hours. We don't want that. Eliminate those clues if you can. Don't eat when you're lonely, bored, mad, or stressed, because you'll overeat. I have people that say, well, I usually finish off a bag of Reese's Pieces and a jumbo bag of potato chips every night. Every night. And you know what? They're 350 pounds. And they wonder why they can't lose weight. Resign from the clean plate club. Your mother taught you to eat everything on your plate. Don't. if you're wanting to lose weight. Refrigerate leftovers for tomorrow's lunch and don't leave leftovers in the refrigerator. How's that for contradiction? Because if they're in the refrigerator, you'll eat them. Take half of a large restaurant portion home. If you enjoy lingering at the table, remove your plate so you won't be tempted to continue to nibble. A refrigerator full of leftover leads to snacking as surely as a day leads to night. If you must nibble at mealtime, eat healthy choices. Carrot sticks, radishes, celery, broccoli, and cauliflower. Good for fiber. Good raw vegetables. Some people have said that if we really want to get over our diseases quickly, you need to have 50% of your meals raw vegetables. 50%. Wait 10 minutes after meals. Distract yourself. Most time, the urge will pass if you cannot eat for 10 minutes after you're finished. Brush your teeth. Now, the French do this. They brush your teeth after every meal. If you brush your teeth and you go nibble, you're going to have to brush your teeth again. So, you're not going to nibble. That's good. Volunteer. Do something. Help others. Not only does it keep you busy, but it enriches your life. It leaves you less time to overeat. And keep a food diary. Write what you eat. Because I've found that patients say, you know, I was going to eat this and this and this, but then I have to go get the diary and write it down. I just said, forget it. So I'll just write it down when I'm at mealtime, which is great. It's also a way to help you to start taking control of your diet. You also then want to write down your grocery list and don't buy anything else but that. So you write down your journal. It's one of the most common, easy ways and most forgotten ways to take care and control of your weight. So how are we going to do this? We can't do it of ourselves. We have to do it with Jesus Christ, and we have to claim the promise. So let's read this again. Worry is blind and can't discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. You have it memorized yet? Have it memorized? Okay. Now to the questions. What do I do for COPD, which is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or chronic bronchitis? Well, you're going to try to be the most healthful. The best thing I can do for the mucus that oftentimes obstructs these patients is increase your water intake. That's the last thing usually somebody that's short of breath wants to do, because it's hard to breathe when you swallow. Had somebody asked also about substitution for Coumadin. There isn't any. If you're on it, praise the Lord that we have that available. 100 years ago, you would have died. I have a patient that said they've been on Coumadin and Lanoxin, and they've been a vegetarian for 27 years. Lanoxin will slow your heart rate. It'll increase the pumping of the heart. And you know, it's herbal. It's foxglove flower. And we've had it for about 150 years. What about psyllium? Sometimes psyllium or Metamucil-type products, Citraceal, causes constipation. The reason it causes constipation is you're not drinking enough water. And there are several of you that ask me about specific products. If you'll ask me separately, I will discuss those. I don't want to discuss those up here. And can you take too much garlic? Only if your friends complain. No, probably can't. I mean, if your spouse or your friends don't, you will reek. I mean, it'll come through your skin. And if that's okay, it's okay with me. How much M's gelatin for arthritis? That's the seaweed for arthritis to take the place of glucosamine chondroitin in the vegetarian form. And I prefer not to have this flavor. The flavor has a lot of sugar in it, so you want the plain. But understand, because I've said this, there's none left at the Book and Bible House except the flavored kind. You want 2 tablespoons a day, 2 tablespoons of M's gelatin, seaweed. What about natural estrogen and being at risk for bone and heart disease? I'll discuss this tomorrow, but as far as the latest study, estrogen now appears to be very neutral to heart attacks and preventing heart attacks. It also appears in the first year of starting it, increasing your chance for heart attack and stroke. So it's not beneficial that way. You do lose a little bit by not having estrogen, and you will for bones. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. How do we get our supplementation of calcium if it's acidic to digest? The whole point is if you get your fresh fruits and vegetables, things like broccoli, there's a little bit of calcium in there. Not nearly as much as there is in milk. But you know what? That little bit of calcium in that broccoli, you'll absorb every bit of it to your bones. And what we have found is in milk, we drink all this milk, and sure enough, we got a lot of calcium in the bloodstream. But you know what? Nobody did the rest of the study. They didn't see if it went to the bones. And what they found out is the more milk you drink, the more you waste the calcium in the urine. The higher protein you intake, the more calcium you waste in your urine. So calcium can be actually act as a diuretic when you're with milk products and high protein animal products. So where do you want to get your calcium? You want to get it from the fresh fruits and vegetables because it'll stay in your bones. Can you have too many carbohydrates? Yes, because carbohydrates will turn to sugar. So you need to be moderation in all things. What about a little salt is good? Is a lot of bad? Yes, a lot of salt can be dangerous, but you do need a little. And it's important that you do get some. I'd prefer it to be iodinized. I need iodine in there. You may need extra iodine in your diet. Another thing for being tired that we miss really a lot is our soil has been tilled for 200 years in this country. We don't have trace minerals in it anymore. And most of the fresh fruits and vegetables we get are from Chile. And they've tilled theirs for 2,000 years. We don't have it there. If you're feeling tired, I would suggest that you go get some trace liquid minerals. Why do I want liquid? I'm not suggesting any brand, but if you get a pill that is a mineral, minerals are rocks. And so is that pill. The chance of absorbing it is about 5%. If you get the liquid trace mineral and you're deficient, your body can absorb that a whole lot better. So I want you to get liquid trace minerals and try that every day, whatever the directions are, and see if that doesn't help you for being tired. What about red rice yeast? Now, red rice yeast, we found in Asia, is the same thing as our statin cholesterol medication. In fact, that's where it came from. It's levostatin or Mevacor, which is under a trade name. If you want to try to lower your cholesterol with red rice yeast, you may. The FDA has taken it off the market, put it on the market, and taken it off the market. You may not find it. But red rice yeast usually comes in a 600 milligram capsule. I want you to see your doctor. I still want your liver checked because it can do the same thing to your liver. I want your cholesterol checked before and after. But the dose is 2 600 milligram red rice yeast capsules twice a day. And you go up or down depending on your cholesterol from there. It will act like a prescription drug because it is the prescription drug. It's where it came from. What about heel spurs? One of the easiest things to do for heel spurs is to take a bottle, a jar, and roll your heel across it at night, usually in a chair. Roll it for 15 minutes and do that. And it can help that heel spur. Heel spurs, because of calcium, growing onto the tendon. And it hurts. Another thing that I've found helps is B12. And most of us are a little bit B12 deficient. And now we found, of course, if you take B12 by mouth into your stomach, it will be dissolved and you won't absorb any of it because you need intrinsic factor. They now have over-the-counter B12, 2,000 to 5,000 micrograms, 2,000 to 5,000 micrograms under the tongue. You can get it over-the-counter. So I would suggest you try one of those every day. What I found that helps also is possibly in sciatica, carpal tunnel, tennis elbow. Example, my wife, slinging mulch for our garden 2 years ago, did her elbow. Hurt. Hard to play the harp. Put the little strap on it, went to see the orthopedist. He said, well, it'll get better in a year. A year went by, time to sling mulch again. Didn't get better. So I said, okay, we've got literature to say that B12 helps bursitis if we give it on a regular basis. Let's try it for you. And sure enough, that's all she needed, and the tennis elbow got better. Can help for carpal tunnel. It probably can help for the heel spurs. It might help for sciatica. It's not going to hurt you. Flaxseed, how much if you're ground? We already said that, 2 tablespoons a day. Somebody said, I have pain in my neck all the time. What am I supposed to do? I suggest that you see a physician if it's there all the time. That's quite dangerous. And I'm being tired all the time. What am I going to do? We've tried to give you some recommendations today. We want you to have a closer walk with God. We want God to answer our prayers. We want to be so close to God that everything we do will be His will. We want to be an example for Him to all the universe. We want to do whatever we are doing in life to vindicate God's holy name, and that should be our only goal. And then we will have the blessings of a new heart and a new spirit. Let's stand for prayer. Great Father in heaven, we ask that you will take these health tips, that we can not be tired anymore. You have promised us that you would not give us the diseases of the Egyptians if we followed you. And these are the diseases of a great American diet that we can avoid if we will just follow your counsel. We ask that you will be with us now and in our hearts. Help our hurts and our prayer praises and prayer requests we thank you for. And we ask you to please be with them. In your Son's name, Jesus, amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2002, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 27 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. Thank you.